Let's pray. Teach us your way, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth. Give us undivided hearts to revere your name. Amen. 3 months ago, I was preparing to leave for Colombia on my delegation with Christian Peacemaker Teams, CPT. One of the things I was looking forward to was a chance to spend a few days out in the countryside, El Campo, visiting one of the rural communities that CPT walks alongside as part of their work for peace. The community I was going to visit was Las Pavas, a community well acquainted with the human suffering that often accompanies the economic practices of multinational corporations. Las Pavas is full of remarkable people who are, in different ways, trying to resist forced displacement by a palm oil company that has encroached upon their home. We were going to travel to the heart of their community, where farmers are eking out an existence with few resources and danger on all sides, and I was going to learn some of their stories in person. My trip to the campo did not turn out exactly as I expected. Not that I had very precise expectations, familiar as I am with world travel and its many surprises. I didn't necessarily expect to ride a motorcycle without a helmet and to end up standing in the middle of an eerily quiet jungle with two developing 6-inch bruises on my legs and a crying toddler in my arms as her dad removed and reattached our wheels so that we could carry on in the nearly impassable mud that had caused us to crash. But that was fun. I didn't expect to enjoy sleeping in a hammock cocooned in a mosquito net, but it was actually more cozy than claustrophobic. And I really didn't expect to nearly get both feet stuck deep in a pig's mud wallow. I didn't have a picture of the pigs, but there's goats. But that will definitely come back someday for a sermon on Jesus washing his disciples' feet, so it was worth it. But mostly, I didn't expect to get sick with food poisoning that would keep my stomach churning well after I returned home to Canada a week later. In the middle of the night, our first night there, a few hours after we had arrived in Las Pavas, one of the permanent CPTers and I both started throwing up. As it turned out, most of the CPTers back home in Barranca Bermeja were doing the same thing, so we narrowed down the cause pretty quickly and we weren't overly worried. Once we'd rid ourselves of all fluids and solids, we were a little bit useless. Neither of us could consume any food, and we weakly lay in the home of our hosts, in hammocks or a chair, definitely not ready for the kilometers of walking we had been planning to do in high heat and humidity to visit all of the farms in Las Pavas. There we were, fighting dehydration and hoping that the bright pink Gatorade wouldn't make a second appearance after being consumed. Was it disappointing to be immobilized? Yes. But perhaps within my uselessness, there was also an unexpected parallel to the work of accompaniment. CPT accompanies quite a few communities in Colombia. There are many ways in which they bring their expertise and training in conflict transformation and communication to share with these communities. But as one CPTer said, as we sat in the shade and observed a protest we had been invited to witness at the Barranca Bermeja City Hall, sometimes we just show up and hang out. Hanging out is accompaniment. It's solidarity. It's bearing witness to injustice and being present to deter injustice. But it's not always glamorous and exciting. And from a distance, it might not look useful. The work of accompaniment might be like the work of a doula or a birth companion who doesn't do the work of a midwife, but whose supportive presence is essential to the person who is painfully laboring. On CPT Colombia's website, they write, "We define accompaniment as being present with communities at risk and walking with their leaders who have taken on the dangerous task of orchestrating the movement. We accompany community processes and grassroots organizations who embody nonviolent resistance as a tool of defense against the violent framework that dominates politics, economics, and culture. Sometimes walking the way of Christ asks us to set aside our drive to appear useful and to solve other people's problems for them, and rather to simply walk alongside someone who knows what they need, but who needs the space in which their own voice can be heard. The work of accompaniment is, I believe, deeply related to the practice of lament. In the book of Psalms, the Psalms of Lament are the most common. Lament is that unsettling biblical tradition of prayer that includes expression of complaint, anger, grief, despair, and protest to God. In lament, the psalmists wrestle with God. They engage with life's hard questions and challenge God. At the Saskatoon Assembly of Mennonite Church Canada, Safwat Marzouk from Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary spoke of lament, calling it a public processing of pain. Some of these next photos that you'll see are from a graffiti tour that we did in Bogota, which was a fascinating way to learn about the country and the people's concerns for social justice. This is one form of a public processing of pain. The laments found in the Psalms were created to be used within corporate worship. Even an individual lament, like Psalm 86, one person with their lament, is meant for the gathered faith community to hear and to hold together as they are before God. Safwat referred to the work of Derek Suderman at Conrad Grebel by saying that the one making the petition and God are not the only two characters in relationship in lament. The listening community is also part of the lament, the community that is dedicated to hearing the cries of the petitioner and to discerning a faithful response. The listening community surrounding the lament performs the work of accompaniment, much like Christian peacemaker teams does. The faithful response to a brother or sister's lament is not necessarily, "Let me tell you how I'm going to fix that problem for you." Although that's often where we're most comfortable, isn't it? Our neighbor's lament makes us uncomfortable, and we'd like to ease our own discomfort by making it go away, telling ourselves that by seeking a quick fix, we're easing the discomfort of the one expressing their lament. Walter Brueggemann wrote 30 years ago in the US of the wishful optimism of our culture that keeps us from listening to the angry and despairing biblical voices of lament. He said, "We don't want to acknowledge or experience life's disorientation." These Psalms of Lament, he wrote, lead us into dangerous acknowledgement of how life really is. And that's uncomfortable. Whether it's our experience or someone else's experience that we don't fully understand or that we feel threatens our lifestyle. I deeply value that CPT is willing to go into those difficult spaces of how life really is. Sometimes CPTers themselves are at risk of physical violence, but always they are present with others who are experiencing violence in various forms. This is a picture of Las Pavas a little while ago. To go deep into that place from which lament is prayed is to be present with people and to say, "I hear you, I see you, your life has value. Your suffering matters, and together we will see God's justice done." Psalm 86 could have been a psalm written in Las Pavas. My heart jumped to my throat when I read verse 14. "O God, arrogant men rise up against me. A band of violent men seeks my life." This is a description of the situation in Las Pavas. The arrogant, rising up against the community, are from Aporte San Isidro, the palm oil company that has been using any means at their disposal to displace those who call Las Pavas their homeland. The arrogant Aporte San Isidro is, as far as I can understand, a faceless, nameless, nationless, multinational corporation that is hard to track down and call to accountability. One tactic they use is the hiring of a private security company to do their dirty work. A band of violent men seeks my life. These are the security guards who have taken over a house that anyone coming to Las Pavas must pass by. These paid ruffians have yelled abuse at anyone passing by. They have destroyed crops and burnt homes. They have poisoned livestock, beaten community members, even in front of their children. And for a time, they blocked an entrance to the community so that a sick man couldn't get access to health care, which may have led to his untimely death. A band of violent men seeks my life. There was much rejoicing 2 weeks ago when Colombian authorities made 6 arrests, including 2 security guards and a company administrator with whom CPT is familiar. The 4-year investigation has resulted in charges for conspiracy to commit a crime, forced displacement, damage to natural resources, and environmental contamination. This is a picture of the African palm that they have planted, replacing any crops that people wish to grow. These arrests, this is good news of justice to the people of Las Pavas, but it isn't the end. In retaliation for these arrests, community leaders have received various threats, and they continue to be at high risk of aggression. So Las Pavas continues their nonviolent resistance, and much like the psalmists before them, they sing their prayer, their desires, their despair, and their protest. In Las Pavas, there are many musicians, and 4 composers in particular have been writing songs about the situation of the 123 displaced families in their community. Chasquis, a media organization that we visited, has now made a musical CD of these compositions and a documentary of the Las Pavas story, which has just finished doing the circuit of international film festivals, so it should become available to purchase soon and to show more broadly, hopefully here. The campesinos of Las Pavas have their own voice to share, a voice of lament, and of deep faith that comes out in some of their lyrics. Their songs are psalms of lament, naming the difficult reality, what is not as it should be, who has wronged them, and what they hope for. They name the promise that should be theirs to claim. And CPT walks alongside them as they seek the justice that is rightfully theirs. Because 2 of us were sick, we couldn't walk around through the jungle to visit all the farms we wanted to see. But as we stayed at the home of Placho and Rubiela, we still heard many voices. Their kids, Minmin and Jimena, kept us distracted from how we were feeling. Don Efrain, who was in the last photo, came and told us part of the story of his life and sang for us. Others came in and out and showed us a brief picture of life in Las Pavas. And I was keenly aware of the vulnerability of that community on a day-to-day basis, as I had my ever so brief experience of being sick in a place with no toilet or sink. And then we even despaired of being able to leave on time because the heavy rains made the roads difficult even for the motorcycles. The political rhetoric that seems to win votes and that we hear a lot of these days is all the great things that I'm going to do to make everybody else's lives better. But I wonder how much any of those big promise makers have spent any time sitting in the place of lament, being part of the listening community that allows the space for a voice of despair or protest or anger to be raised to God in prayer. In that place, one does not tell but ask, "How can I walk with you?" The voice of lament is not a voice to be silenced with our great solutions. It is a voice to be raised and heard until it is the power of that voice that brings transformation to our broken world. My first photo was a sunset on Las Pavas. This is a sunrise on the same scene. The voice of lament is not a weak voice. It is a voice of courage and power. In Safwat's words, lament makes us agents of our covenant with God, declaring what is not right, what is not fitting with God's dream of justice and peace. Creating space for the voice of lament will create space for that dream to become reality. With the leading of those who are courageous enough to say, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. We remember who you are, God, and we will hold you to it. We will not give up as long as you are still a God of steadfast love and faithfulness." The home of lament is in worship. Biblical lament in the Psalms is a conversation with God within the circle of the faith community. Our call as a faith community is to make worship a hospitable space for lament. Can we truly hear each other in our public processing of pain without glossing over it in our discomfort? Can we permit ourselves to be so vulnerable as to share our own laments within the body of Christ? You may want to reflect on those questions as I leave you with a lament from Las Pavas in the voice of Edwin Torres. He sings, roughly translated in part, "I'm going to tell you a story of what happened in my town. They burned the house I had in Las Pavas. Because of the palms, I have been drifting. Because of the palms, I have a pain in my soul. But I don't worry because I know that tomorrow will come. The plague will come destroy the African palm. I don't have the strength to take revenge. I leave it to God in heaven because he is the caretaker of my soul. I don't worry because I know that tomorrow will come." Let's listen to this courageous voice.
Les voy a contar la historia. Les voy a contar la historia que ha pasado aquí en mi pueblo. Me quemaron la casita que tenía yo en Las Pavas. Por culpa de las palmeras yo he quedado a la deriva. Por culpa de las palmeras tengo un dolor en el alma. Por culpa de las palmeras yo he quedado a la deriva. Por culpa de las palmeras tengo un dolor en el alma. Pero yo no me preocupo porque sé que un día es mañana. Viene la peste cogollera para la palma africana. Como yo no tengo fuerza para hacer una venganza, se la dejo al Dios del cielo que es el dueño de mi alma. Como yo no tengo fuerza para hacer una venganza, se la dejo al Dios del cielo que es el dueño de mi alma. Yo viví esperanzado en este bendito gobierno. Y ahora les digo cantando que esto no sirvió de nada. Cuidan exalte la plata y al pobre si lo desplazan. Para quitarle las tierras y sembrar palma africana. Para quitarle las tierras y sembrar palma africana. Pero yo no me preocupo porque sé que un día es mañana. Viene la peste cogollera para la palma africana. Como yo no tengo fuerza para hacer una venganza, se la dejo al Dios del cielo que es el dueño de mi alma. Como yo no tengo fuerza para hacer una venganza, se la dejo al Dios del cielo que es el dueño de mi alma. Les voy a contar la historia. Les voy a contar la historia que ha pasado aquí en mi pueblo. Me quemaron la casita que tenía yo en las pavas. Por culpa de las palmeras yo he quedado a la deriva. Por culpa de las palmeras tengo un dolor en el alma. Pero yo no me preocupo porque sé que un día es mañana. Viene la peste cogollera para la palma africana. Como yo no tengo fuerza para hacer una venganza, se la dejo al Dios del cielo que es el dueño de mi alma. Como yo no tengo fuerza para hacer una venganza, se la dejo al Dios del cielo.